And this is Bob Martin. We're here to, with Take 10 today. We're talking to Melissa Saubers. She is the owner of Cowork Waldo, president of the Kansas City Coworking Association. Melissa, welcome to Take 10.
Thank you for having me.
Great. I know you started, I believe you started Cowork Waldo in 2012, so six, going on 7 years ago now. But talk to me a little bit about what you were doing before you got into the co-working world.
I was just saying that it might look like I might have been a little distracted because I had several different things going on. I did 10 years at Sprint. My husband and I started a roofing company. I sold real estate. And then eventually I started doing social media marketing, social media, websites, email, et cetera. And then from there, that's kind of how I got to Cowork Waldo.
So social media was about 8-10 years ago. Is that when you got into it?
Yeah, about 2010. Is that right? Yeah, about 2010.
So you've seen a lot change in that world, certainly, in those years.
Oh, yeah.
What's been the biggest difference that you've noticed?
Everything is so much more live now. You know, Facebook Live and just, you know, everything's more real time, I think, you know, versus when it first started, it was such an experimental thing and nobody really, I mean, I remember when my cousin invited me to Facebook and I was like, what is this thing? You know, and then now look where it's at.
Sure. Certainly has exploded. So roofing, social media, co-working, what inspired you to open Cowork Waldo?
Yeah. So when I was doing my marketing company, I was working from home and just going crazy. You know, just lonely, and my creativity was waning. You know, I was in a creative business, and I just was really, you know, just lonely, isolated. and I just really thought, I need to get out of this house, but I didn't want to have my own office. And somewhere along the line, I'd heard about co-working. So I thought, I'm just going to try this thing out. And there were only a couple of co-working spaces back in 2012, and they were downtown. And I, you know, live and work in Brookside Waldo area. And so I thought, well, I'll just open one here. I'll just do it in my neighborhood. It'll be easy.
So along those lines, what's been the biggest surprise for you toiling in the co-working arena?
It's not easy. No, it's not easy. You can't build it and they will come. When I first opened, nobody knew what co-working was. They thought, you know, I'd put a sign out and say, you know, come co-work with us. And people thought we were a job placement center. I mean, it was so new in 2012. Nobody knew what it was. And even, you know, even in 2018, I'm still explaining. But I'm not explaining what it is as much.
Sure.
You know, so we have come pretty far in those 6 years.
Sure. Obviously, you were a pioneer in this industry, at least in Kansas, or but not just in Kansas City, around the entire world. What, and since then, you've launched the co-working, the Kansas City Co-working Alliance. Tell me a little bit about your vision in taking, going from a marketplace that has embraced competition throughout its evolution and now into co-working, and now you're going to take all these people that are your competitors and you're going to put them under one roof and create this alliance to really become an advocate for co-working in Kansas City. Where was the vision there?
Yeah. Well, it came from my struggles of people not knowing what co-working was. And I thought, you know, if we all kind of band together, that rising tide lifts all boats kind of motto, then we will all do better. You know, what we're really trying to do is raise awareness and really get a bigger, help people understand what co-working is, where it is, and what the options are, and then we all benefit from that.
I think you're absolutely right. It seems to be a very collaborative industry. What do you, and I obviously I credit your leadership in that regard, but what do you think is a driving force behind the collaborative nature of co-working management companies and landowners?
I think because it's so new that we are really relying on each other to build the industry. The co-working industry technically started in 2005 in San Francisco. So if you think about it, it's only like a 18-year-old industry, excuse me, not 12, 18-year-old industry. And in Kansas City, it was really 2010 probably that it started. So I just think it comes from the fact that we all need, you know, we all kind of need to lean on each other to help each other, you know, raise that awareness and work together.
Sure. Certainly refreshing way to look at business. And sort of in that scope, where do you see us 10 years from now? Where's the co-working industry going, both here in Kansas City? I know you have a purview around the country, if not around the world. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing? What are the road signs? Where are we going?
I think the great news is, I mean, Kansas City is so spread out. There's opportunity at really all four corners of the metro area and in between. So I really see more spaces in the suburbs and in the different neighborhoods. I also see more niche spaces. So I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, industry-specific co-working spaces or for a specific target market. I really kind of think that that's where it's going.
Got it. It's one thing to be a pioneer. It's another thing to be a leader. What would you credit your effective leadership in this? I'll call it a movement. I think it's a movement in terms of how we do work. What would you credit your leadership and what traits have you been able to lean on that have made you an effective founder in this industry?
Well, I think for me, the number one most effective leadership skill is clear communication. I just think that, you know, say what you mean. Or mean what you say? Is that what it is? Mean what you say?
I think it's both, actually.
Yeah. So I think, you know, being an effective communicator is number one. I think also, some people call me a cheerleader. You know, I'm a little bit of a cheerleader. I think having enthusiasm and really, you know, excitement for what you're doing really helps in the hard times when you're really struggling and trying to figure out, should I keep going? If you have a passion for whatever you're working on, you know, in this instance, the co-working movement, that keeps you going when you're having really tough times.
Sure. You know? Talk about tough times. What challenges have you personally faced or professionally faced that you can look at and go, that was difficult. I worked through it. How did you work through it?
Well, like I said, nobody knew what co-working was when I opened. So really, the first 3 years that I was open were extremely tough. I'd say, you know, not profitable, tough. And it took me almost closing to turn the ship around. I came to a point where I essentially announced to a peer group of mine that I may not be open, you know, and of course, I got tons of great support, moral support, but it also gave me, it was kind of the pivot point for me to say, if I really love this industry, I'm really passionate about it, and I want to make it work, then I am going to be laser focused and figure out how to make this thing work.
So did you get rid of other noise? Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Good question. I had my first 3 years of business, I was continuing to do my marketing business. So I had multiple things going on, and I'm also pretty involved in several nonprofits. And so I just kind of looked at the big picture and I said, okay, what can I get rid of that will help me be able to be more laser focused on this? And then I also just looked at all my systems and processes and, you know, all of the tracking that I was doing and just figured out how to make it happen. Just relied on all of the years of my entrepreneurial years of experience as well as my corporate years. And it just pivoted. You know, that's the net of it, is I just started to be more focused and then it started working.
Got it. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Talked about the bad times. Let's talk about the good times. I know that there's been several landmark, if you will, occasions to celebrate here locally in the co-working world. What's been your biggest triumphs looking back over the last 12 to 24 months?
Well, yeah, Kansas City has Kansas City set a world record for the most people co-working at one place at one time last summer. So, excuse me.
Have a drink there.
Yeah, thank you. So that was a huge accomplishment. Right now we're in a race for winning the best co-working space in the world. Hopefully we'll win at 7 p.m. tonight. But I think probably the biggest thing for me is that I was able to take my business and turn it around, you know, instead of having to close, number one. And then number two, now my plans are to expand into a new location with a new focus and a new target market. And so I'm going to be able to help more people and to really expand my vision.
That's very exciting. I'll take it with that, that's probably what gets you up in the morning. Are there other motivations for you?
I think yes. I mean, I think that that gets me up in the morning, being able to help other people, being around other people, because that's so important to me. I really have to be around other people. And that's part of my motivation for getting up every day, is that I get to go serve these other people and I get to help them be less lonely and more connected. And really being a connector is kind of what drives me.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. That's great. We like to wrap up every edition of Take 10 with a non-maudlin question, if you will, something off the shelf. Picture, if you will, I am your genie in a bottle. I know, that's quite a visual. What are your three wishes, Melissa?
Oh, gosh. Well, these are going to be, one of them is going to be serious and the other two probably not as serious. So one of them is that my daughters grow up to be happy and healthy and that they're, you know, have a career with a purpose that they love, you know, that kind of thing. Well, we all wish for our children. The second is that I find my dream home in the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a bad situation. So that is high on my priority list right now. And then finally figuring out how to stop eating sugar.
How to stop eating sugar.
Yeah.
Well, if you figure that out, share it with me because I have that same challenge.
Right.
Melissa Saubers, thank you so much for joining us. You've been on Take 10.
Thank you.